what the goal is and what the information is. But there's a real question always with these things about whether we can see anything. And if you can see it, it's easier to get there. Do it this way. Yeah, that should work. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know somebody who has become a disciple of Jesus in part as a result of being involved in Alpha? Just put your hands up. And so the rest of you guys don't know anybody who's become a follower of Jesus as part of being involved in Alpha. I just wonder, Roy, could you stand up for a moment? Yeah, just for a sec, could you? Now, do any of you know this guy here? Do you know how he became a follower of Jesus? Through Alpha, yeah? So that's a vision. Thanks, Roy. Vision of how it happens. Pardon?
I don't know whether I agree with that. He actually was with the Lord way before.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that I knew about him, but didn't really accept
it. Now, that's an interesting conversation, isn't it? Because actually having the information and not follow it, thanks, Roy, is all very well. Actually, probably the devil has got even more knowledge about God than Roy had. I don't think the Alpha course done him much good. Pardon? just a matter of extension. Somebody from a rather different sort of, well, although there was a family connection there, somebody, Charlie as well, connected with Jesus again through Alpha. There are other people that we know who have become Christians because of that. And if you take into account the people that may not be part of Dayspring now, but have been part of us and have moved on elsewhere, or may even be in that strange position where, having taken a step forward, they haven't maintained it, there's a crowd of people there. In fact, if you think about it, there are loads of people. And over the last couple of years, they have developed a complete new set of videos that don't just involve Nicky Gumbel talking to camera. He doesn't even talk to camera, does he? He talks to an audience. There's a whole host of people who are being affected. The church that I was with previously was on their staff, talking to the leader there just during this week. And he said they decided last year that it would be a good thing to take the whole church, all of their community groups, through the course. And while not everybody made a while these were not all commitments made while on the course, looking back over the year, 17 people who went through the course have become Christians. Now, you have to scale that down a bit. But do you know, the critical thing is this: if you don't see the possibility of one of your friends, of a neighbour, of a member of your family coming to Jesus through Alpha, you will never think it's worthwhile inviting them, because it all stays as theory. But think about Roy, think about Charlie, think about Linda, think about others that you know who have found a new place through, of course we're all with God anyway, but who have found a new place in following Jesus, who have brought their faith into activation, and use that as a basis for inviting people. Do not be scared of inviting people who have previously said no. Because you know what? Things change. And as long as we do it politely and put it in a way where we encourage people to think about it, but they can take it or they can leave it, then there's no reason why you shouldn't come back. I was hearing about somebody who was invited to 5 Alphas before they actually said yes. So Who knows how many invitations you need to make before somebody finds faith through the course. It may not be perfect, but guys, it's the best thing we've got at the moment, and it's good to go with. So that's about Alpha. Okay, now we are going to spend some time over the next year getting a particular term into our minds. And that's this, the term spiritual formation. Now, as you do, I Googled spiritual formation when I was thinking about this, and I think about the first 10 links were saying how dreadful spiritual formation was, and that it was demonic and was New Age and all those sorts of things. When I looked at some of the links that they were critiquing, they were really good Bible expositions. And what it is the fear of the new. If it's not from your sort of denomination, from your way of thinking about it, if somebody comes up with a term, you do find that you get a lot of critique. So spiritual formation, we're going to deconstruct that a little bit and do some work. And over this week and next week, I just want to introduce the idea of ways and means of spiritual formation. And I can see the looks on your faces as though, and of course it is what happens if you give me a whiteboard, then it will start to feel like a lecture. But let's just pray that Holy Spirit will attend this lecture as well this morning. Father God, this is big stuff, if it's real at all. And we pray that this won't be ideas, it won't even be good Bible stuff, but it will be your Spirit speaking to our spirits. Amen. Okay, so actually, talking about your spirits, your spirit speaking to our spirits is probably as good a place as any to start. So let me ask you this question. You'd be familiar with people saying that we are spiritual beings. Okay, we are spiritual beings. Okay, let me ask you a question to discuss with one another. What on earth does that mean when we say we're spiritual beings? Okay. Okay, guys, talk to me about it. Tell one another what you think. What do we mean when we're saying we are spiritual beings, not spiritual beings? I've already done that joke, so you can keep that one. Spiritual beings, what do we mean?
Mum says it's the fact that you call out to God, say, oh God, when something goes wrong, even if you're not Christian and don't believe in it, there's something in you that calls out.
All right. So that's spiritual talk. Father, thank you for that and all that that indicates, yeah? So say again that you call out to God.
The fact that people will call out to God and say things like, oh God, why is something wrong, even when they don't actually believe.
They don't appear to believe because there's something that's inside. Yeah, so we're onto the inside already. Anything? What else?
Well, just expanding on that, we said it's something more circular as well. So that calling out to a God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else about being a
spirit in us? Is something that's just in our body and will live on when the body dies.
Okay. Simon, I've got to do this. When you say about the Spirit in us, what's the us that it's in?
Us, the person.
Okay, what's the difference between the Spirit and the person and the body? I catch anybody laughing, I'll ask you to answer it instead. It's difficult, isn't it?
Put it very nicely. That
go on, like somebody's taken over from you. I'll stop where it is.
Diagram overlapping.
What's overlapping?
The body and the emotions and the spirit. You can't separate them, but maybe okay. There are some things that are different about each.
You can separate them. Separated.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Might happen in a valley or up a mountain, but private joke. The spirit is our inner self. And you can get yourself in a right pickle. You'll sometimes hear people talking about, oh, spirit and soul and body, that's a Greek view, the Hebrew view is this. That's a load of cobblers anyway. Nobody really can unscramble that sort of stuff, because if you know anything about the Greeks, you know there was never one view. But the way I would like to think about it is, the spirit is, I'm drawing it as a flame, sort of, our inner self, and that inner self that we were talking about, that calls out to God, calls out to a God, responds to God, lives on when we die, because in fact we are clothed with a body, right? Our body goes on the outside. And in fact, next Friday we have a funeral for Roy's mum, and in a way, the greatness of it is that it's all a bit pointless because she ain't there, right? She's been and gone and is with her Lord, okay? That's the essence of the spirit. So it's the outer self and there's the inner self. And if you read the Authorized Version, you will actually read a bit where Paul says to Timothy, you know, Timothy was in that sort of Greek culture where fitness was all, physical fitness was all. He says, bodily exercise profits, but little. Okay? You only get a little bit. So whatever effort you put into physical fitness, if that's only profiting but little, the other bit ought to be where your main focus is. Yeah? And it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? So, the outside is the body. And it's, by the way, you have to separate that out a bit from the mind as well. We're really stuck in this mind thing. Some of you will have heard of a guy called René Descartes. One of the things that he said was that human beings are thinking things. Res cogito, I think, but then I don't know Latin, so I shouldn't even try. But things that think. And when you think, that is reductive in the extreme. That's absolutely dreadful, isn't it? To say that all we are, the most important thing about us is that we think. And of course, none of us can live with that. None of us can live with that. Because if we consider ourselves just to be thinking things, nothing's worth anything. Of course, if you lean towards that, then you get some really destructive patterns in the way you bring up your kids as well, because you're just so worried about their intellectual achievement, there's nothing else that's worth focusing on. So thinking, emotions, all of those things are around there, and Simon's right in saying that there is an us, which actually is personality, spirit. But spiritual formation is something that we don't talk about very much. Excuse me. But that we... So spiritual formation, ways and means. So if we've said about what human beings are, why don't you... God, I lost my notes. Never got them out. Why don't you... talk to one another about if We're spiritual beings. What is spiritual formation? As good as you can do it, describe spiritual formation. This isn't an easy definition, by the way. Lots of people use this differently. In fact, some of the people I've been reading, one of the things you do is you get so far through reading what they're saying, and then you think, hang on for a minute, what do you mean by spiritual formation? You have to go back to the beginning and find they're talking about things a bit differently. But just have a little push at this. What do we think of? What do you think is a good way of thinking about spiritual formation?
I've got to be honest, Dave, there's some of us over here are wondering what spiritual formation actually is.
Okay, so let's do a thing. What's formation? What do we mean by, yeah. Okay, that's a shape, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So formation is shaping.
Say that.
It's the shaping. Sorry?
Doing your bit at the right time to make something.
Doing your bit at the right time to make something happen. The problem is with that's certainly a bit of it, but does that involve God as well? You've actually given us quite a lot of hooks there to hang on. Doing your bit right moment, right, yeah, and something happened. So we're going to go for happening at the moment, what we mean by that, but yeah. Come on then.
The same question straight away.
Yeah.
It wasn't just us then.
Yeah, yeah. So, and David gave us the lead arrow, which is actually recognizing that we have a spiritual side.
Yeah.
So that's part of the formation.
Let me give you a story about formation, right? We've spent a few days away, which led to us looking for somewhere to get some lunch on New Year's Day, and even in the centre of London, there aren't that many places open. And Wendy was determined that we would walk up towards the Shard and go up Luke's Old Road. And so we did this, and sure enough, we found the Garrison, which is sort of a hipster pub, which was just across from his house, and it was a place where he took us for breakfast and so on. So we'd remembered that, right. Went in there, very crowded, remarkably crowded, remarkable experience, when I was queuing for the gents lavatory, right? Queuing for the gents lavatory, to the point where women were being waved on saying, women's toilet's free, just come past. And there were some reasons for this. When we saw that one of the chefs came out, having changed back into his normal clothes, that explained part of why the queue was long for this toilet. But anyway, the detail.
Experience, wasn't it, for a man?
Well, we were in the theatre during the week, and the queues were pretty long there as well, but there you go. But as I was standing in this queue, you can always see why. I understand now why Wendy comes back sort of replenished and rejuvenated, having gone to the loo. It's because she's overheard so many conversations and joined in with so many conversations. And the guy who was behind me saw somebody else come down the stairs. His girlfriend went on past to ladies' loo, and when she came back, he was still standing there, and so there was a conversation about that. But a guy right next to me said to him, have you been skiing then? It's the thing you do if you go to the Garrison for lunch. You go skiing between Christmas and New Year, apparently. One of them said, yeah. He said, what about you? Oh, no. He said, did you do anything for New Year? He said, I stayed in. I feel as though my life is moving on in that I stayed in for the New Year. And I thought, that's really interesting. And there was a little gap. And he said, of course, the PlayStation makes a difference. There's a couple of guys, about 35, and talking about not having family, but having a PlayStation as being the thing that was forming him, that was shaping him. Now, you are always, and everybody, you see, if I said to you what you're doing for your formation in in 2019 and you said to me nothing, that just could not be true, because you are always being formed. So let's put that down here. You're always being shaped. And the Bible is really quite clear about this. Culture forms us. Our relationships form us. Society forms us. Less so our training and education. But probably the best place to start off by thinking about this is, somebody guess for me where we're going to go about being conformed, formed. Where would you go? Okay, Romans 12. Let's start with 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then Sue came on to this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by neuroplasticity, by the renewing of your mind, the fact that you can actually change the way you are, the way you think, the way you act. So, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. So, what we've got here is there's a choice between conformed or transformed. Now, this is interesting because much of what we talk about as spiritual formation is subversive, it's transgressive, it's undermining what society does to us, what society tells us is important. When you watch the ads on TV, they will tell you what is important. And between Christmas and the New Year, we haven't been watching TV, but we've got a fairly clear picture in our mind that the thing that the ads tell you to do in order to have a good life this year is to book your holidays. Yeah? That's the big message, isn't it? You've got to book your holidays. That's what's important. That's where formation's going to occur. That's where you're going to be replenished, which is why you get all these couples, for older people, the pictures are directed towards couples standing in the starlight on a bow of a cruise ship, not arguing about anything at all. Yeah? The ideal life. And with kids who are not knocking 7 bells out of one another, but are on a first choice holiday and all enjoying themselves and play. And you've got one who's a teenager, one little, and they're all playing together. So there is there's a formation there. If we live our lives like this, if we buy our taps and our bath from this particular company, then we're going to experience the good life. That's the way that society works us. And of course, your employers are signed up to that stuff hugely, because that's the way they will get you to work and to work and to work. I don't want to do too much undermining today. But see, Jesus did some undermining things, and he didn't even give people points to act on. He didn't say, this is true, and therefore you need to do 1, 2, 3. Quite often he just chucked something out, right out there, and left it with people. So he would be going along. I don't know that he was going along, but I'm pretty certain that he didn't have a board on the wall and writing it up at the same time. And he said, here, guys, here's something. The first shall be last, and the last first. Wow. Now that is hugely subversive, right? I would love to catch you saying that to your kids when they hand their report forms over. Yeah? Don't worry about that. I've told you a story, haven't I, about Matthew, who did struggle with reading until he was got some diagnosis once he had moved. No, well, he was still in London when that happened and realised he'd got some specific reading problems. But I remember listening to Wendy saying to him, look, Matthew, you've got to try harder because otherwise you'll be put in the, it was never bottom group, it was purple group or something like that. And he shrugged his shoulders, 6 year old, somebody's got to be in that group. And I thought, yes, we've done something good here. May not feel like it at the moment, but we've got somebody who has got confidence within him, because he's better at cricket than anybody else, that all will be okay. So a little bit of thought there about what it means to be conformed, transformed, because we want to think about ways and means of spiritual formation. Now, here's the thing. Right, here's your life. And there's a direction to it. Now, Brenda's observation about Roy always being with God is a useful one, really helpful. It's part of what I've been studying about what that means and how the Spirit works with us. But it's certainly true that if throughout our lives we have a sort of very approximate relationship with the Spirit, there comes a point where we decide, or God draws us in to becoming disciples, and then something changes. We get a direction to our lives. So we now understand spiritual formation as being the journey towards God, to opening our hearts up to the Spirit. That's what spiritual formation is, opening our hearts to the Spirit. It's a journey. It can be practices, it can be a process, but in its broadest, it's a journey. So what is the destination of spiritual formation? Okay. No, everybody is so relieved that you've decided to answer the question. Rosie, please go ahead, we wait in awe. Go on, do you want to have a go? We'll ask people whether they agree with you and so on afterwards. What did you say?
I was thinking about this about 18 months ago, and I want to do this. Why do I want to do all this? I just want to be more like Jesus. Is that going to make me more like Jesus? No, I won't do that then.
Okay, let's actually ask you this question, and think about the person sitting next to you. Well, think about yourself and talk to the person sitting next to you. What would you or they be like if they were more like Jesus? That's a way to start a row, isn't it? What would you like if they were? No, you don't have to start. Not that quickly, Charlie. You can take a little while before. Yeah, she'd got the list, yeah. Yeah. So what would it mean for you to be more like Jesus? Have a little think about that, and if something particularly comes to mind. Guys, if you go here, I want to tell you that it's not terribly comfortable to actually start to engage with what God wants, because we know there's a difference between, like I was talking about with Alpha, having a vision and having an objective. We borrowed Luke's flat this week, which was great, because it meant we didn't have to pay for anywhere to stay. And so we squandered all the money we'd have spent on going to shows and had a really good time in those few days. But on the basis of what Wendy and all the others had been to see his place before, we knew that he lived in an abandoned factory, right? I had seen the fluorescent lights. It was an old sealskin factory, and I had got an image in my mind. I had a vision that had come out of my mind. When I got there were a number of surprises. The place was as big as I expected, you know, polished wood floor, integrated stuff. The ceilings weren't quite as high. I'd thought of warehouse rather than factory. They were about sort of 11 feet, 12 feet high, slabs of concrete. Yeah, it was open. Yes, like the others had said, he didn't have a TV, but being Luke, he had to have a projector to show programs that he'd got a coffee machine that you could have cheerfully set in a coffee shop and so on. And some bits connected, the garage connected, the fact the gates opened, the fact there was a bus stop outside, some of those things were there. But actually getting a vision for your spiritual formation would be really useful. What is the question? And I'd like to ask this lots of times during this year. Take 5 years. Actually, if you're part of the Renew group or older, only take 5 years. But if you're slightly younger, take 10 years and have a thought about what are you going to be like? What is your vision for spiritual formation over that period? How would you be different now from the way you are now? How would you be more like Christ now, from now? I actually thought of the possibility. We've got a leadership team meeting tonight, and here's heads up, guys, we will do this tonight. Tonight, I am going to hand out pictures of trees with no leaves on them and no fruit on them. And we're going to do a now and then exercise. What do we see of the image of Christ? Sis just said to Carol that she doesn't need to worry about that because she's like Jesus now. I tell you, in all seriousness, if you're recognizing what the Holy Spirit's been doing here, then you just want to say more. And yes, Lord, to that. There is something of the Spirit of Christ that is within us. And it's not all it's not all just one fruit. You know, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it, in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the works of flesh, fruit of the Spirit. And I suppose within myself, I see quite a lot of joy at the moment. I see some love. To be honest, right now, I don't see very much peace. I see more anxiety than peace. And there's things like gentleness. Never been very good at gentleness. That question, what would Jesus be like if he was me? What would Jesus be like if he was clothed in my body, my personality? And how do I see myself as becoming more like that? What's the possibility? Let's just give you a couple of bits of Bible this, because Rosie took us there very quickly. And I just want to point out that, in fact, there's a real solid thing about saying that the direction we're going is towards the image of Christ, yeah? Being like Jesus. Okay, so an easy definition of spiritual formation, Greg, is to say that spiritual formation is the journey from where we are now to becoming like Jesus, whatever it takes. Yeah? That's what it's about. It's not about doing. And that's the advantage of talking about formation over discipleship, because discipleship, we can easily get to think about doing. It's not about doing, it's about being. And that is what God's purpose is in us, because he can do anything with people who will be. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, try that one, see what we get. It talks about here that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image, which with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. bit complicated, but being transformed to his image. If you go to, you can see the same thing in Romans, you can see the same thing in Galatians. But I'd just like to start on the how and to do it this way. Now, do you remember, can you say your definition again, Laura? You talked about formation. I can't remember all the words because each one of them was significant, about doing the right thing at the right moment. Yeah. There's an interesting thing here because let's just imagine you've got a table here and you're sitting on one side of it, the Holy Spirit is sitting on the other side, and you are in the middle as well. Okay, all a bit bizarre, but if you can do that for a moment. What do you bring to the table in terms of spiritual formation? And what does the Holy Spirit bring to the table? What do you bring to the table in terms of your spiritual formation? What have you got to offer in terms of becoming like Jesus?
Networks.
Pardon?
Networks.
The network?
Yeah, the people, the contacts, the... the way you are and what you do.
Let's put this in terms of your inner life. How does the network work there, do you think?
You have people you talk to.
Okay, yeah.
You care for them.
All right, yeah. So, in fact, you can actually talk about individual things you do. You can talk about small group things, you can talk about large group things, small group interactions, you can talk about large group stuff. So there's lots of relationships that are involved. What are the attitudes, what are the contributions that we bring to the process of becoming more like Jesus?
Willingness.
Is there anything more than willingness?
Obedience.
Obedience, which is pretty much, isn't it? It's sort of two ways of saying the same thing. So if you're willing, you're obedient, you actually do it. What do you think is different?
Willingness is a desire.
So willingness is a desire. So let's have a look at the things that wrong colour pen, let's keep this different otherwise. So we've got willingness. Oh, I've got enough L's in there. Willing, obedient. Anything else? Sorry?
Julie had a great one.
What did you say?
Sin.
Sin.
Sin. Sin. Sin. And he gives us forgiveness.
Yeah. That's pretty scary, isn't it? That's pretty much our openness, willingness, obedience, our weakness. Okay? Sin, weakness is all we bring to the table. What does the Holy Spirit bring? What? Yeah, I'm not going to ask you again because you go to my last point first. What it was supposed to happen was that people came up with various things, and then I said, and all this adds up to the power. Okay, but what are the other bits? How does it work?
Wisdom.
Fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, that's the product, isn't it, to the end. So there's the wisdom in here, and of course there's forgiveness for sin. Conviction. Just hang on a moment. That word, what do we mean by conviction? It's an important word, isn't it? Because that's part of the problem with this process, that it opens us up to more levels. You know, I wasn't doing so good. I started preparing this talk. right, for various reasons, struggling with some things, started preparing this talk, lo and behold, I felt worse. Because it drew, as I went into the scriptures, it drew my attention to more and more areas where there was weakness, where there was an imperfection in the image. The closer we look in the mirror, yeah, the worse it seems. Famous image, preacher's image that's used. I don't know whether you've ever gone out and you've had a pair of light coloured trousers on. It'd been raining, stopped raining, and you're walking along in the dark and a car comes past and throws the mud up. You're about 100 yards away from a street lamp. You look down at your trousers, think, oh, it nearly got me. Okay? 20 yards along, you're looking at your clothes again and think, do you know, I think there's some mud there. That'd be okay. I'll be able to rub it off. By the time you're under the street lamp, right, looking down, you say, I've got to go home and change. And that is what happens as we approach, as we get closer. It takes me three times as long to shave of a morning since Wendy got me a magnifying mirror, right? But I take my glasses off and use the ordinary bathroom mirror and shave in about 2 minutes flat. Put my glasses on, have to wash the soap off the sides afterwards, but it takes longer. If I use the 8x magnifying mirror, right, apart from being a ghastly experience anyway, it takes me rather more time. And that's one of the reasons why meaningfulness and mindfulness reflection can be a bit dangerous, because unless the Spirit of God is opening us up to things, we can end up feeling so badly about ourselves, we just sort of crash. But it's God's mirror that's the one that matters. So here we are. So this power comes into play here. And I think we'll just do a last verse. We haven't really got as far as looking at many verses, but if we go into Philippians and 2, I think we can go there and we have a look at this verse. Right. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with... You see, this is all salvation here. We think of the fact that we were saved, but this is all salvation too. Yeah? Work out your own salvation. With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So it's God working in us, we work. God works and we work. The problem comes, of course, is if we think it's all God or all us. Because we don't bring very much to the table, but God won't work unless we bring what we've got. So unless we bring our willingness, our obedience, our openness, and I would say our perseverance as well, nothing happens. So, let's pray. And here's a thought as you pray. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. But he went on to say, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father God, I pray that as we seek above all to become the kind of people you want us to be, who are just like your Son in our human personality and bodies, that you will work with us, that you will enable us to be willing to take on the yoke that comes from you, which is where we'll find the kind of abundant life which is restful all the time. Lord, we recognize that deep down we're a bit of a mess, really, and that we've got a long way to go. But we thank you that you loved us anyway. We're so grateful that you love us, and that even when we find out the worst things about us, we can rest in the fact that you knew that already. So, Lord, we pray that we will be to the praise of your glory and that you will work in us. Amen. Okay, we're going to go on to the means next week, how we are spiritually formed.